Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Robert Bryce is here. Robert's a member of our Brain Trust, senior fellow with the Center for Energy Policy and the Environment at the Manhattan Institute, and he's here to talk to us about something that happened recently, something that the president did that impacted us in many ways, and I'm talking about the Keystone Pipeline. Robert Bryce, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Tell us about the Keystone Pipeline, Robert.
Well, this is
the
a
proposed,
project that
the proposed Keystone Pipeline.
Right. This was a project that, if built, would bring about 700,000 barrels a day of Canadian crude oil, known as bitumen, that's produced from oil sands to refineries on the Gulf Coast. It would also help relieve some of the bottlenecks in crude oil carrying capacity from North Dakota and central Oklahoma to the Gulf Coast. So it would be a dramatic increase in U.S. Pipeline capacity for crude oil products. And
are you saying that some of the oil that the pipeline would carry is already being carried over that in that direction, but just on with through other methods like tanker trucks?
Oh yes, there's what's happened in the last 4 years, and particularly even in the last two or maybe even 1.5 years, Jim, in the U.S. oil and gas industry is unprecedented. What we've seen is a huge increase, not a little increase, an enormous increase in liquids production by the drill bit in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is coming out of Canada from the oil sands, but that's a well-known story. The lesser-known story is in shale oil. We know all about shale gas. I've heard about it for a long time, but shale oil production in the U.S. is skyrocketing. And, for instance, the Bakken shale in North Dakota, production is so great that a lot of producers are shipping their product out of there on unit trains. They have tanker trains that are moving product out of there in South Texas. Out of the
This was a huge find that we reported on not too long ago, and you're saying they're already pulling that oil out of the ground up there now.
Oh yes, no. The oil production in North Dakota has been ongoing for a long time, but what has happened in the last few years is the dramatic expansion of production out of the Bakken shale.
Mm-hmm.
And that has, it's doubled in about the last 5 to 8 years, and it's going to double again in the next 5 to 8
mm-hmm.
years.
So that oil has got to go, it's got to get out of there to go to some refining process, and it's currently going by either railroad or by truck, some kind of a tank. It's getting to that point, and it's going south to the refineries on the Gulf Coast?
Well, no, there's some of that oil, in fact, is going all the way to the East Coast by rail car.
But over ground, and over land, it's going, yeah.
Well, yes, but we have some of that crude is also being moved by pipeline. I don't know the exact breakdown, but my guess is that the vast majority of it is still being moved by pipeline.
Right.
But because there's insufficient pipeline capacity, some of it's moving by truck or by rail.
So the Keystone Pipeline will divert some of that capacity, some of that inventory to the pipeline to be distributed more efficiently, and it will also allegedly be built so that it will accept the expanded production.
Well, pipelines are the fastest, safest, cheapest way to move oil and gas. Always have been, always will be. But what the pipeline, the Keystone XL, which would be built by TransCanada at a cost of something on the order of, there are varying figures, but $7 to $14 billion would employ, depending on whose numbers you believe, during construction, 13,000, create several hundreds or thousands of permanent jobs in addition.
Mm-hmm.
That pipeline would help reduce the transportation bottlenecks, both in the northern part of the U.S. and in Oklahoma from the Cushing refinery all the way down to the Texas Gulf Coast, where there are refiners that can handle that heavy crude and convert it into refined products.
So when people say that the pipeline could become an environmental nightmare, could be some kind of a problem, then what the truth is that they're not taking into consideration that a lot of oil from that part of the world is already traveling overland just on wheels.
Well, what's happened is that, and give them credit, the environmental groups led by Bill McKibben, led by James Hansen, had sustained protests in Washington around the White House last summer, and they put pressure on the Obama administration, and they conflated the issues of the oil sands with the broader issue of global warming, and said, though, if this oil sands is developed, then, as one guy said, it's game over for the climate. Well, that oil sands is going to be brought to market, whether it comes to the U.S. or goes to China or Malaysia or Singapore. That oil is going to get to market, and so the idea that somehow this blocking this pipeline is going to keep that oil in the ground is just a faulty assumption.
Right. So tell the audience what the president did recently.
Well, the president has now blocked the construction of Keystone twice. The State Department has done three environmental impact statements on the project. All of them found minimal impact. But the president had, in his latest determination, said it was not in the national interest. And I, to me, I find that really stunning. I mean, you could come up with a number of different reasons that you want to block it. But look at what's happened over the last 10 years. Mexico's oil production has dropped by about 600,000 barrels a day. Canada and Mexico have traditionally been our biggest suppliers of oil. Mexico's production has dropped by about 600,000 barrels a day because they're not investing enough in upstream production. They're not drilling enough. Their supergiant oil field, Cantarell, offshore, is declining rapidly. Meanwhile, the Canadian production has increased by about 600,000 barrels a day. So I in no way am saying this is going to make us energy independent. I'm not saying we're going to be independent of the global oil market. We'll always be interdependent. But to me, it makes a heck of a lot of sense to bring as much oil to the U.S. as we can from our closest neighbor and biggest neighbor and closest ally.
Manhattan-Institute.com, right?
.org.
Manhattan-Institute.org is where you find Robert Bryce's work on behalf of the energy and environment. Robert's going to stay with me. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. When we come back, I want to report on our survey about the Keystone Pipeline. What did you tell us? What did our audience tell us about what they thought about whether we should build the pipeline or not? And we're going to talk about whether the pipeline can actually, what's it going to take to get it revived so we can build this thing? 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.